I mean, and some of the things, and don't get me wrong, but some of the things that are happening today are good. Technology advancing, people getting rights that heretofore didn't have the rights. I think all that stuff is great. Recognition of certain segments of society, all that's good. But with all that advancement and all the good that's happening, there's something that's happening that's undercutting the foundation of everything that is good and godly.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of If the Foundations Be Destroyed, What Can the Righteous Do? From Psalm chapter 11. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of If the Foundations Be Destroyed, What Can the Righteous Do?
Many people believe that the background to this particular psalm comes from David as he ran from Saul. And the reference to the crumbling foundations may give some indication that Saul was corrupt in his kingship. And because Saul was corrupt in his kingship, that all the foundations of society had been corrupted. So many people believe that, or many commentators believe that that is the historical setting of the psalm as David ran from Saul. But despite the setting, apparently David was in desperate straits with his life in danger. The temptation to run from danger challenged his confidence in God. The psalm's message is as followed. Faced with temptation to flee at a time when unlawful authority was being destroyed, in verses 1 through 3, the psalmist held fast to his faith in the Lord, in verses 4 through 7. The foundations, under the exegesis of verse 3. What are the foundations? The word foundations comes from the Hebrew word shat, which refers to law and order in society. Look at this, based upon God's rule. What was David saying? When the law of God is no longer honored, when morality and righteousness and decency is no longer honored. That's the foundation. Here the psalmist says the foundation, that which is right, that which is healthy, that which is good is the foundation. What does that word destroyed mean? The word destroyed comes from the Hebrew word haras and means to beat down. The young people say that today. You're going to get the beat down. To beat down, break down, destroy, or pull down. The foundations are destroyed when truth and righteousness prevail no longer, but the intercourse of men is governed by mere selfishness. And once again, I go back to say that a lot of things that you see today is all motivated by the dollar bill, by money. People have elevated making money over morality and over decency, and that is why the foundations are crumbling. Just think about what's behind a lot of things. It's about some kind of selfishness. It's about some kind of selfishness. You know, why would an individual have a relationship outside of marriage? Because of selfishness. I've got needs in my body. I want to drive to have these needs met. And I see something that I can fulfill that on. Why would somebody want to get high on drugs? Well, because I want to be in an altered state of mind. What is it? Selfishness. And one thing that was pointed out in this presentation that we saw the other evening is that people who take drugs are so selfish and so self-centered that they die. And then they leave the people who love them to take care of them. They're the ones that got to grieve. They're the ones that got to bury them. They're the ones that got to go out down to the morgue and identify them. Selfishness. Selfishness. And that's what it's saying here, that to destroy means to tear down something because of your own selfishness. And that's what our society is centered on today. And that's why the foundations are being destroyed, because people are selfish. And then he asked the question, what can the righteous do? The word righteousness comes from a root that means straightness. It refers to a state that conforms to an authority or standard. Thus, the righteous, look at this, are those who conform to God's authoritative standard. Wow. First of all, if you're here and you're saved and you are trying to live right, You know what? You are righteous. See, we got this idea. Yeah, we've let people shake us out of using some terms. You know, well, righteous, you know, like just some type of mystical thing out here. Now, righteousness means that you have conformed to God's divine standard. Now, we know that, first of all, that means accepting Christ as your Savior. So that's the first step right there. And then it means that you are trying to live a life that pleases the Lord. So let me ask the question. Should I show hands? How many folk here today are righteous? No, don't wait for the pastor to put his hand up now. No. Notice what I didn't say, because I know some of y'all hesitate. Notice what I didn't say. I didn't say you don't have sin. No, notice I didn't say you don't think bad thoughts. Notice that I didn't say you don't get angry sometimes. I said, how many people are here that are trying to line up with God's moral standard? Now, let me see your hands. All right. Well, then you are righteous. You are righteous. A lot of hesitation here that first time. I said, man, we might need to do some teaching on righteousness, man. You are righteous. If you have accepted Christ and you are trying to, you know, walk with the Lord and do what God would have you to do. I didn't say you were perfect. I didn't say you were sinless. I didn't say any of that. I just said you trying to conform to the standard. You are righteous. So the scripture says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can you do? Let me share three things with you real quick. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, the first thing that the righteous can do is to keep trusting the Lord. You know what, man? Even though all hell is breaking loose around you, and even though the foundations are crumbling all around, keep trusting the Lord. Look what he says in verse 4. He says, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. See, this is good. This is good. Turn to Psalm 46 real soon. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the seas, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Now, look, what is this? What is this other than, listen, the shaking of the foundations of the earth. Look at that. Though, in verse 2, though the earth be removed, though the foundations of the earth shake. And what happens when the foundations of the earth shake? What do you have? An earthquake. Though the earth shake, though the foundations of the earth shake, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. What is that? Some people believe that that's a volcanic eruptions, the shaking of the foundation of the mountain and lava spilling out into the ocean. We saw that last week. There was a volcano in Hawaii that erupted. Though the waters roar and be troubled. That's what? Tidal waves. Though the waters roar and the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Man, if mountains are shaking, something is eating at the foundation. So get this picture. Devastation all around. Earthquakes. Volcanoes. Hurricanes. Mountains shaking. Tidal waves. And look what it says. There is a river. In the midst of all this, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. What did the psalmist say in verse 11? God is where? In the tabernacle. God is where? In his holy place. Where is God at here? He's in the river. He's in the tabernacle. Look what verse 5 says. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. Wow. Man, that blows my mind. Earthquakes all around, devastation all around. And yet and still there's a river that's flowing. And what did the psalmist say? It's not even moved. There's not even a ripple. There's not even a disturbance of the water, but it's just flowing smooth. And why is that? Because God is in it. And in the midst of crumbling foundations all around us, in the midst of crumbling foundations in your home, and keep on trusting God. Keep on trusting God. Even though the foundation of your home may be shaken, the foundation of society may be shaken. Man, keep trusting God. Man, keep trusting. Man, you may be going through hell right now. You may be going through something that you never thought that you would go through. I know I'm dealing with something in my life right now, in my home right now. But you know what? I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God. I know he's going to work it out. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know he's going to work it out. Though the foundations shake, man, God is in the river. He's in the midst of the river, and the river won't be moved. Keep trusting the Lord. Secondly, the psalmist said, keep obeying the word. That's pretty simple. When the fault, man, this stuff is so simple, but yet it's so profound. In the midst of crumbling foundations, keep obeying the word. Look what he says in verse 4 of Psalm 11. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the children of men. What does that mean? That means God examines the lives of everybody. He don't care who you are. God will examine your life. Whether you are saint or sinner, God will examine your life. The Lord testeth the righteous, but the wicked and him who loveth violence, his soul hateth. What determination is God's judgment based upon? Somebody help me. When God makes a judgment, what is it based on? The word of God. Man, we were at a conference. This is the only conference in America, that the one we went to on the last couple days. Biblical counseling. You got all kinds of counseling. You got theonocetic counseling. You got Christian counseling, which is now, sometimes you got to be careful now with even Christian counseling. All right, watch yourself now, Pastor. Watch yourself. Y'all got quiet on me now. I just said you got to watch sometimes. Everything that's Christian is not Christian. All right. And so there's all kind of, but this was the only conference in the country where people come and the Bible is the center of what we talk about. They had people come talk on homosexuality. They had people come talk on drugs. They had people come talk on how to get off the merry-go-round of a bad marriage. They had people come talk about, oh, God forbid that I say this. Somebody help me, saints. PMS. Wait a minute. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that they covered at the conference. And I was the MC of the conference. And I was saying, after every presentation, I got up and said something. And after that one, I just said, well, we're getting a little bit of everything at this conference. Huh? And one of the ladies came up to me after and said, Reverend, you don't have too much to say after that one. But I'm just saying, they dealt with all those subjects, and it was all what? Back to the word. How do you deal with that from a biblical perspective? Man, I mean, it was all practical, biblical stuff. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that when the foundations are being destroyed, as J. Vernon McGee would say, let's get back to the Bible. When the foundation of your life is being destroyed, get back to the Bible. When the foundation of your home is being destroyed, get back to the Bible. When the foundation of society is being destroyed, get back to the Bible. When the foundation of government is being destroyed, get back to the Bible. This is it. And the word of God. Amen. And you know what? The foundations can continue to fall. But if you're standing on the word of God, amen, you won't fall. Right. You might be attacked by the enemy. The enemy might shoot their arrows at you. But God will hold you up. God will help you to stand up. Stand on the word of God. Let me finish this morning. Let me finish. I didn't preach last week, right? All right. I didn't even do Bible study last week. I was at my daughter's graduation. So you know I had a bunch up in me. And I just came from a conference too? I'm going to let you go in a minute here, saints. I see some of y'all. I know we didn't serve communion today. All right. Okay. Like I said, some people come to church for two reasons. One, the eye to close, and the others, to close the eyes. And I'm getting some closed eyes right now. All right. Keep trusting the Lord. Keep obeying the word. And finally, let me close with this. Keep letting your voice be heard. Now, what do I mean when I say that? I mean, continue to let your light shine. Don't let, because it seems like you are alone. Don't let that silence you. Because it seems like nobody else. And once again, I'm not saying to be overbearing or to be obnoxious with it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, but you know, if you know in your heart that God has told you what to do and God wants you to be an influence, don't let your voice be silenced. Be an influence on those around you. You know, be an influence on those in your home. Be an influence on those that you work with. And sometimes you can be an influence without even saying a word. You know, you don't always have to think you got to say something. Be an influence. You know, if we're going to make a change, we got to make an influence on somebody's life. And, you know, it starts, as Brother Carl prayed, you know, one person at a time, influencing somebody, influencing somebody's home. You know, I pray for my home because sometimes I haven't had the influence in my home that I wanted to have. And I pray and I ask God, God, show me how to make a difference in the lives of people in my home. Because some of them don't seem to be getting the message here. But we gotta, you gotta have that desire, you gotta have that drive to have an influence on the society, on the government, on the people that you come in contact with. As I let me just share one more thing with you, because you know, well, let me read the verse here. He said, "For the righteous Lord," verse 7, "the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." So what is that saying? That's saying that God loves people who are righteous. And that when you are righteous, that what does God want you to do? He wants you to let your light shine. When you are righteous, you know why God wiped out a whole civilization of people? You know why God wiped out the whole world and saved Noah and his family? It's because he wanted to replenish the earth with righteousness. You know what God told Adam and Eve when he created them in innocence in the garden? He told them to go be fruitful and multiply. Don't multiply sin. Don't multiply unrighteousness. But he told them to go forth and multiply righteousness. And so if we want to make a difference today, man, we got to bump up against folk. And I'm not saying in a negative way, but we got to begin to touch people's lives. I was reading this, and I'm going to read this. Salt. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Salt does three things. Salt means to purify. Sodium chloride is a mineral that is natural. Salt is basic both to land and sea. There is no need to add or tamper with salt. Salt is in its pure form. When we dilute salt, it's no longer useful. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. That means that you are to purify. Even though the foundations are crumbling, God left you here to purify. What do you think? How come you didn't just, when you got saved, how come God just didn't take you on to heaven? He left you here for a reason. To be salt. To purify. Salt is also a preserver. In the day of Jesus, in the absence of refrigeration, salt was the primary means to preserve the life of food. This preserving nature made salt as valuable as money. Salt preserved. It kept things. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You can purify. you can preserve what's here. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. And then finally, salt was also an enhancer. The presence of salt could bring flavor and zest to food. The quality in each granular of salt brings amazing results. Even to this day, a pinch of salt can season an entire meal. The message about the zeal and zest of salt can have several spiritual applications. Man, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. As I close today, I want to ask you a question. The foundations are being destroyed. You can see that. It's obvious. The foundations are being destroyed in home, in society, in government, in the church. I want to ask you a question. I want to be very pointed. I want to ask you a question. Don't look at the person next to you, or don't look at the person behind you or in front of you. I ask you a question. What are you doing to work on this situation? How are you personally involved in shoring up the foundation? There should be something in your life that you're doing right now. What are you doing right now? You should be doing something that's other than something for you, other than something that you want to get some glory or you want to get the benefit out. What are you doing right now? The psalmist said the foundations are being destroyed. We see the foundations being destroyed. I'm asking you the question right now. What are you doing in light of the fact that these foundations are being destroyed? Are you trying to snatch somebody? Are you trying to encourage somebody? Are you trying to work with some group or some ministry that is pulling people back to shore up the foundation? I got to ask you, what are you doing? I mean, if you're looking right now and you can't see, then you may be a part of the problem too. Because somebody said that the only thing that it takes for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing. And so if you're not doing anything, you're just sitting back watching the foundations crumble. Man, God has given me a burden. God has given me a desire to teach the word of God. And my heart leaps within me when somebody says that what you said, what you gave, that scripture that you administered to my heart, I'm going to make a change in my life. Man, I want to shore up the foundation. What are you doing? What are you doing to shore up the foundation? Even in your home, what are you doing to shore up the foundation? The psalmist said that children are like arrows in the hand of a man. And you shoot the arrows out. You're shooting your children out into the world. What kind of arrows are you shooting out into the world? Man, my heart grieves sometimes. Even as I think about my own home. What kind of arrows are you shooting out? Man, you got to influence folk. You got to touch folk. You got to shoot them out there straight. God don't want you to shoot crooked arrows out. He wants you to shoot straight arrows out. How are you working to shore up the foundation? Man, two kids last week. Kid, we say, oh, well, folk breaking into Pastor Glazer's car in Homewood. Well, maybe I don't want to go into Homewood. Well, they out of Penn Hills now. They out in Monroeville. They out in Fox Chapel. That's no safe place. You can't run. You can't hide. Man, you better be a part of shoring up this foundation. If the foundation be destroyed, I'm going to put it another way. What are the righteous doing? Or let me put it another way. If the foundations are being destroyed, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of If the Foundations Be Destroyed, What Can the Righteous Do? Part 2 from Psalm chapter 11. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, If the Foundations Be Destroyed, What Can the Righteous Do? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request If the Foundations Be Destroyed, What Can the Righteous Do? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request If the Foundations Be Destroyed, What Can the Righteous Do? Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.